Session number 19047, Reel 1.
Okay, so this is Frank Brody, and it's Reel 1. Okay, Frank, so could you just give me your date of birth, please?
29th of the 4th,
1919.
Yeah.
Yeah, and where did you go to school, Frank?
Well, I went to St. Peter's, Preston.
In Preston, because you were born in Preston, were you?
I was born in Preston, yes.
Yeah.
I went to St. Peter's, and from there to St. Michael's.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
And that was your sort of junior schooling and your senior schooling, basically,
yes.
Presumably.
Yeah.
What about family, Frank? Did you have your mum and dad and...
I had mother and stepfather.
And stepfather. Any army connections in with your father?
No.
Or your stepfather?
No.
No, okay. And what about brothers and sisters?
There was six of us.
Some of each?
Four brothers and two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Four brothers with me, one.
Yeah. And what about your brothers? Did they go into the services eventually?
Well, they was all in the services during the war years.
Right. Right.
And one sister.
Okay. They were called up, presumably.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about your schooling, Frank, or your school years?
Well, it wasn't so clever in those days.
Did you enjoy any of it, or were you particularly...
Well, I went.
Yeah.
And put it that way, but as for enjoying it, they didn't bother about you much in them days.
Right.
If you didn't seem to push yourself, you were pushed it back.
Mm-hmm. Interested in sport at all?
Football, no.
At school?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you played football at school as a youngster?
Just a kickabout, like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And what are your earliest recollections in the 30s, when you were a boy of maybe in your 10, 15 years of age, that sort of age group? War is beginning to brew up. Are you aware of anything that's happening there?
No, not really, no.
No.
No, no, I had a rather a rough time as a lad.
Mm.
I didn't get much time for pleasure.
Right.
Father had a nursery and spent more time on that working than playing.
Mm. Mm. Well, you were working on the nursery with your father, with your stepdad. Yeah. Did you go into that? Did you work in the nursery as when you left school?
Well, I did. Under duress.
Under duress?
Yeah, well, I started work at Parkinson's Biscuit Factory in Preston. It's not there now. It was down by the docks. And I worked with a joiner.
Mm. Mm.
I was serving my time, actually. And Father made me leave and go to the nursery.
Mm. Right. So, as you say, under duress, you didn't really want to do that. You were quite happy doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
What are your first recollections of sort of the outbreak of war or those things happening? And
well, I was in the forces by then.
You were?
Yeah.
So did you get called up then?
No. I volunteered.
You volunteered?
Well, I had a row with stepfather. Mm. He cracked me, so I cracked him back, and that were it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walked out of the house and never went back home.
Right.
I went to live with an uncle for a while, and I worked in a cotton mill for about a week, and I didn't like it.
Mm.
I got out, and I joined up.
What year would that have been?
1938. October 1938.
What did your mum think at the time?
Well, I didn't see anything of her. I went straight to barracks, do you see?
Right.
And I never saw her. And the next time I saw her, she was in the barracks. And I was called to CO's office, like, you know.
Mm.
And She were there to get money out of me. Mm. 2 shilling a day we were on at the time.
Right.
So half of that went to mother.
Yeah.
And she went home and I stayed where I was.
So that was that in Preston?
Yes, Forward Barracks.
Right, Forward Barracks in Preston. Yeah. Forward Barracks is now the today is the headquarters of the Queen's Lancashire Regiment, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. But then it was, what was it?
East Lancs.
East Lancs.
And North Lancs.
Yeah.
One side, right hand side of Barracks were North Lancs and the other side were East Lancs.
So you joined the East Lancs?
Yes.
Okay. You volunteered for the East Lancs.
Yeah.
You wanted to go into the East Lancs.
Well, I didn't volunteer for anything specifically. When I went into the recruiting office, you put me in it.
I see.
See, I just went in to join up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No idea what I wanted to join. I just went in office and that were it.
No, that's
that were
right.
Bottom of New Orleans.
They gave you a service number, didn't they?
338-6814. You never forget that.
It's true. Everybody remembers that one, don't they?
Yeah.
And they gave you uniforms and kit, presumably, at that
stage. Yeah. And from then, finishing my time at Forward Barracks, I went across to Ireland.
Right.
To Palace Barracks.
Yeah.
That's where... First Battalion was
right, but you did. Where did you do your training there, Frank? Where did you do your army training in Preston?
No, I just the recruit training. That's all. It were square bashing mainly, wasn't
right,
it?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it were nothing. All the square bashing, and then when I went to and joined First Battalion, we started training then.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go out training all over Northern Ireland. Ballykindler and all over we went to rifle ranges and that.
Yeah.
It were quite interesting really. And then when war broke out I went on a detachment to Larne Harbour. Larne in Northern Ireland. And all these lads coming home from England, you know, Irish lads.
Mm.
They were loaded with them. And we were on It would be oil depot, actually, petroleum, and we were on guard on that for a while.
Mm.
Next thing, report back, and we moved away, and we landed up in Rothbury.
Mm. But your training over there as a soldier, as a rifleman, presumably.
Yeah.
Involved what? Firing a rifle,
firing rifle, Bren gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? Did
2-inch mortars and
mortars. Yeah.
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 No, that was about so. That was about what we had at that point in time.
Yes.
And later on, we got this silly thing called a boys' anti-tank rifle. 55-pound weight. You never forget that when you bolt that about.
That was the predecessor of the Piat, was it? Was it that one?
Well, it was the predecessor of anti-tank guns, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we never had Piats. But they came after Dunkirk, didn't they? Way after Dunkirk, did anti-tank guns. The first one that were introduced were a 2-pounder.
So what was this boy's anti-tank rifle like then?
Was it efficient? Like an overgrown rifle, if you will.
Was it efficient?
It was useless. Yeah, it was useless. It wouldn't have stopped a... Well, it just might have stopped an elephant, I should think.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have stopped an armoured vehicle.
Mm.
No way.
Mm.
It was just like an overgrown rifle.
Yeah. And what were you like as a marksman? Because you go through...
Well, I passed the sniper's course and everything.
Oh, right.
I passed that at Ballykindler.
Mm.
I passed it with flying colours.
Mm.
But I never got the chance to use it, like, you know.
Would you have liked to have done that then? Would you have
I would. Of course, you went on your own, didn't you?
Mm.
You know, you went on your own forward.
Mm.
That were what I would have liked to have done, but I never got a chance to do it.
Mm. Because what? Because they decided to put you somewhere else?
Well, we're in a company. Section, a platoon section, like, you know.
Okay, so we're just talking about Ireland.
We're just in Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, it was mainly guard duties.
Mm.
A just we got out at night, like knock about around locals, which was it was quite a nice place with Lauren actually. Mm. Just knocked about around that area and nights out.
Is that Southern Ireland?
No, Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And then that's around 1938 time, isn't it?
Going into 39. Well, when war broke out.
Yeah. Yeah, because war broke out September 39.
Yeah.
So then what happened at that stage?
Well, we reported back to barracks. Everybody. And next thing we were packing up and ready to move out. Mm. And we moved out to a place called Rothbury, up in Cumbria. And from there, well, I was stationed in the main street in, I think it was a one at schools, mm. an old school. Mm. And there was we had notification that there were a train at site waiting for us to embark. But at the time, it was something to do with Finland.
Yeah. Well, you thought you were going to Finland?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe Russians were moving into there at that point in time, and that this is what train we stood there for battalion to get ready to move out. Anyway, things were changed and we moved out for France.
What division were you with then? Do you remember?
You know, I can't remember. I think it might have been something like 43rd or something like that. Mm. What we had were a diamond mm. with a route out of red on the outside and white in the middle. Mm. The diamond shape on the shoulder badge.
Oh, well, they would know. Somebody would know. I'm not sure what that one is, but
I forget.
Yeah. So from there, from thinking you're going to Finland, you now go to France.
Yes.
How do you get to France?
By boat. We went down to, I don't know whether it was Dover or where it was. Mm. Everything were hush-hush at that time. Like, they didn't even tell us. Mm. We just went down on by train and on a boat and across.
And you're part then of the
BEF.
Yeah, the BEF.
Yeah. Anyway, we landed up in Armentières.
Right.
It were rather funny being there, I'll tell you. When we went out at night, pubs and bars there, they're different, aren't they? They're just like shops, if you will.
Yeah.
You go in and have a drink and sit round, and the women come in with their daughters. They kept them on a leash. It were funny.
Well, I would think so, with all you young foreign soldiers there, they would keep on a leash.
Past experiences they had.
But did you move on from Armentières?
Well, when things started to hot up, they were. The Messerschmitts coming over, machine gunning and so forth, and bombs dropping and here and there, and then all of a sudden all these evacuees started coming streaming through.
French evacuees.
Well, they were Belgium out, whatever, right. You know.
Yeah.
We didn't really know what they were really. They were just crowds of people, and these planes coming down, machine gunning along roads, and they were stood there like silly buggers with Brent guns mounted.
Yeah. Which, trying to fire at these Messerschmitts or whatever they were, dive bombers and so on.
Mainly Messerschmitts, machine gunning.
Mm.
Anyway, we got no orders to load up, we moved out and moved into Tournai.
Yeah.
And then it started there. Germans came round through Reichswald, didn't they?
Well, they certainly came through the Reichswald Forest in Germany. That's later on, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they came from to attack you, but certainly they were coming from a sort of, I would guess, from a
The Maginot Line come down to that point near the Reichswald, didn't it?
Mm.
And, the guns were facing the wrong way, weren't they? Actually, they were facing towards Germany, up Maginot Line, so they couldn't turn them round and engage the Jerry's Wheel.
Where was, I'm not sure actually where, Suresnes did you say? Where that is?
It's in Belgium.
It's in Belgium.
Yeah, it's on the Albert Canal in Belgium.
Right, okay.
Well, we were dug in on side of the Albert Canal.
Hmm. So I imagined it to be in France, but it's in
No, it's Belgium.
Right.
Well, we spent quite a while there. I can't just remember how long, but we were there a good while.
Hmm.
Well, we were dropped outside of Tournai, and we marched through it. And as we were marching through, there were houses going up round as we delayed action bombs that had been dropped.
Hmm.
Furniture strewn all over the streets and climbing over bodies, walking.
Was this the first time, Frank, that you'd...
seen action?
Yes.
Yeah. We're queer.
I imagine.
The place was absolutely empty until we got to. I can't. Yeah. It were in the centre.
Mm.
It were like a big village green, if you will, a big square one. And we dug in at the back side of this in 1418 style. You know, zigzag trenches.
Showing a zigzag line there.
Yeah. And that's where we stuck for a good while, and then we moved forward to the Albert Canal, looking down on it. We was at this point, and there's this big asylum outside on us. And what were we doing? We were filling sandbags all night, from the early hours of the morning right through that night, and humping these sandbags up and making a barrier across road in front of this asylum. Of course, we were expecting Germans coming up this way, which they didn't do. And we dropped down then to the outside of the Albert Canal and dug in again.
Mm.
And next thing, we had orders to shoot everything at front on us. And there were civilians all over the place at the other side. We were having to shoot civilians. And the explanation that we got from them, of course, we were getting battered with artillery, was that they were handing information to Germans where we was.
I see.
So we had to shoot these people in front on us. No, I don't think it were right what were happening myself like. But
you were in a rifle company then?
Yes.
Which company was it?
D Company.
D Company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the officer there.
No, no.
You know, it's all gone.
Hmm.
But anyway, I forget how long we were there, but and then we started to move out, doing rear guard actions.
Yeah.
Right through.
Because the Germans were pushing.
They were pushing, and they were getting to us then. Well, the tanks were lined up on the other side of the canal.
Their tanks?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Battering us.
Hmm.
And we started to move out then, and as we were going out, we were still getting shelled and bombed, and you name it, we were getting everything thrown at us. And not only that, they were flooding countryside as well.
There was, I'm not sure when it happened, Jim, you would know, there was a famous action there, wasn't there, with Irvin Andrews.
Oh, it were after that.
This was after.
It was that way after that.
I just wondered.
We were in these rear guard actions and we were moving back like we were leapfrogging.
That's okay. So we'll come on to that a bit later.
Mm.
So you're moving back and this is the first experience you've had of shellfire.
Yeah.
What was it like? What did you
feel? It were hellish. Yeah. You didn't know where the hell they were going to come from next. Mm. Like, you know, you just got your head down and kept going.
Mm.
For when you come to stop, you stopped, and that were it. You just dug in as quick as you could.
Mm.
Or got in some building or somewhere. Mm. I think that's what Irvin Andrew did, didn't they?
I'm not sure what the story is there.
Yeah, that's what they did. They got into this farm and held it from there, and he were on top of this barn.
Mm. Which company did he have? Any ideas, Jim?
I'm not sure whether it was a company.
Mm.
I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure.
No.
So you're making a series of, what should we call them?
Rear guard actions.
Yeah.
and fighting.
Trying to delay their
advance as we were going.
Mm.
And it was just day after day, same thing, day after day, all the way from Tournai to Dunkirk.
How long would that have lasted, roughly?
Oh, I couldn't tell. You know, it were all a blur. It was just one battle after another.
But would it have been weeks or would it have been days rather than weeks?
Well, it felt like weeks.
I'm sure it did. Yeah, I'm sure it did.
There never seemed to be any end to it.
Mm.
Then when we got to Dunkirk, well, all hell broke loose. Place was on. It were burning from end to end.
Describe the scene when you got there, Jim.
Hmm?
Describe the scene at Dunkirk when you got there.
Hellfire. Well, there were lads dug in all over at beaches. Well, you couldn't get a place to dig in. There were that many of them. So we pulled back and there were like a row of, what do you call, hotels along front. Big houses, like. And it were getting about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night when we got there. So we had it near a cellar with all these bombs and what were going on and dive bombing and shooting. Stuck it cellar till next morning. Come out of it the following morning. Like I said, everything round us were burning. Docks were going up a lot. And there were boats coming and up beaches, picking these lads up. It were everybody for themselves.
Mm.
There were no organisation about it or nothing.
Were the soldiers told that it's everybody for themselves, or were you told that at any stage?
No, nobody said nothing.
Mm.
But you just found your own way. It was just absolute chaos. There were some of them had Bren guns, you know, shooting up at aircraft, and they were doing it off their own bats. There were nobody organising nothing. And, well, me and a couple of mates, we just made our way down to the beach and looked along the beach, and there's this, like a dock, if you will. And we headed for this. Got down there, and there's a queue along the dockside. And we joined this queue, and we got parted it. And process like, oh, lost at one another, like, you know, everybody were strangers.
Mm.
And I just kept in this queue and get down dock, and there's a ship in it dock. Climbed on board that.
A big ship was this, or one of the small boats?
Well, it were a fairly big ship.
Yeah.
Anyway, when we were getting on board, the up anchored and off.
But did you get on there with other East Lancashire people, or was it just a mix?
It was just a mix up.
Right.
There were HLI, there were everything.
Mm. Mm. And what sort of state were the men in on the boat?
Hell of a state. Mm. Hell of a state. Well, we'd been through all that lot, never had a bloody wash, shave, nothing for a week. For 2 or 3 weeks.
Hmm.
I got off the boat. I don't know whether it were Dover or where I got off, but I got off this boat and they directed us to this train, and I ended up at a place called Spennymoor. Somehow we got sorted out and sent to our own outfits.
Yeah. Did you have your rifle with you?
Yes.
You managed to keep hold of that? Because I would imagine a lot of other people...
Oh, they were dumping them.
Mm. Mm.
A lot of them dumped them.
Mm.
I'll tell you where I did dump. That damn boy's anti-tank rifle.
Would you say it weighed? How much? How many pounds did it weigh?
55 pounds.
I think I'd have dumped it as well.
I did. As a matter of fact, we were walking along this quayside, and one side were at sea, the other side docked like, and when I looked over this wall, it were about 40 foot to rocks down below.
It went.
I'd carried it that far, like.
Yeah.
And this voice behind me said, "Soldier!" And I looked, and it's a sergeant major. "I want your name and number." "You've got it," I said, "I'm going." He was playing hell or my dump in this damn thing. Bloody useless thing.
But he was a sergeant major from the East Lanks?
No, I don't know where he was. Oh. I can see badge light and all, but that wasn't a bother about rest. I was just gone.
But when you got back to Spennymoor,
yeah,
you must have been one relieved man at that stage.
Oh, a lot on us were, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Yeah, we were really.
Because presumably there were the unlucky ones that didn't get back, didn't get off the boat.
Oh, there were a lot. Mm. There was a hell of a lot didn't get back.
Mm. And just to go back onto that Irvin Andrews thing, you said earlier that it was the first VC of the war, wasn't it?
Yes, something? Yes.
And I think there's another officer of yours, his name is Setri.
Ferdinand Octavius Setri. I'll never forget him.
F.O. Setri.
Yeah, Ferdinand Octavius.
Yes. I didn't know that was his name. But I think he won a military medal at the same time as Irvin Andrews won.
Did he?
The VC, I think. So what have you...
I don't remember him being at Dunkirk.
Yes, he was with...
Ferdinand.
He was with Irvin at Dunkirk.
Well, I was in his company, Ferdinand's.
Oh, at Dunkirk?
Well, I must have been. But I can't remember him being there. I can remember him after.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you remember of him, just as a...
He was a character. Octavius would never ask you to do what he wouldn't do himself. That's what I liked about him.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
That was one thing I liked about that man. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time we were at North Allerton, Brompton, just outside North Allerton. And down the main street of this village, there were a brook, big wide, it was about as wide as this room and about this deep.
That's about, you're showing there, about 2 foot deep and about 12 foot wide.
Yeah. And every morning, crack of dawn, shorts, winter and summer, he'd run down the middle of this brook.
He was?
Yes. Of course, he expected us to do it as well. It didn't go down so well. Oh, he was a bit of a character, were Ferdinand. In fact, there were a factory in this village, and they used to have all the company transport in the big yard of this factory. They were on guard on this one now. And it's Johnny Johnson. Did anybody ever mention him?
I've heard of Johnny Johnson.
Yeah. We were on guard. And we worked it out between us. Look, you go up to the top of the yard, I said. And we knew what time about he'd be coming round. He never missed going round out guards in Ferdinand. You go up to the top of the yard and halt him. And I'll come up behind him and crack him. And he got us on parade next to him, and bloody praised us for it. He were a bit of a character, were Ferdinand.
Yeah, because you've gotten now back from Dunkirk, and we know now that you didn't go back to France until 1944.
That's right.
Now, you're talking here, Dunkirk was... I think about September of 40, something like that, wasn't it, Frank? So now you've got a period of like 4 years.
That's right.
What happened?
Well, we were up and down all over the country. We spent most of it in Yorkshire.
Where was that?
Here, North Allerton, Malton, all around that area.
Do you remember any... You've mentioned North Allerton. Do you remember anything of Malton?
Malton?
Anything that happened at Malton? Was there a river
in
Malton?
Oh, there's a river in Malton, yeah. We did a river crossing there and lost a lot of lads.
What do you remember about that?
I remember marching down to the river, lining up along the river... The commanding officer being on the other side of the river, the HQ, battalion HQ were on the other side of the river from where we was. And the commanding officer gave a speech at the other side. You must get across. It were ridiculous, actually. When I blow this whistle, I want every man jack across this river.
Do you know who the commanding officer was then?
I can't just remember his name. I know he were a bit of a cripple.
Okay, right. Anyway, this chap is now telling you he wants you across the river.
Yeah. Blows a whistle. And I'm stood there looking at this lot. I thought, well, this is utter bloody stupid. Of course, biggest part on this couldn't swim. You know, what out? Of course, we were all full equipment on.
Had they not taught you to swim?
No. Never had any idea teaching anybody to swim. We were there with full equipment on. Rifles, bandoliers, magazines, it pouches, and all lot.
And what was the river like? What was the state of the river?
It'd be about as wide as this room.
Let's see, you're showing there about 15 foot, 20 foot.
Straight under. It were a placid looking river, but a lot of undercurrent and weed.
Right.
You can just imagine all these lads, 1,000 lads lined up on bank, and just making a dive into the river. Well, it were absolute bloody chaos, it was.
Was the water over your heads when you got
in? Oh, yes. No messing.
Did you actually go in?
No, I didn't. I refused.
Right.
Said, no bloody way. If I'm going to...